Podcast. We are back with you once again. I am your host, Andrew Ledman, and with me, as always,
I'm Casey Bartley.
And we've got a couple topics to go over on the podcast today, starting with Robbie Hummel, going to miss out on the Olympics, actually. We're going to talk about the men of Mackey, the roster so far, and then we're going to end talking about Trevion Williams and the NBA draft. But first, Casey, I've got a question for you. Are you ready?
Born ready.
Okay. Now, Casey has no idea what I'm going to ask him, but of all the players that have transferred out or not completed their time under Matt Painter at Purdue, who is the one that got away? Who's the one you wish you had back?
Oh, that's easy. It's Kendall Stevens.
Really?
Yeah. I like the kid. I like the way he played. He was a legacy kid. You know, he had quite a bit of success in Nevada. I just liked him. I liked him from the start. I understand why he transferred. There was obviously not room, really, because he wasn't really bulky enough to play bigger. But, yeah, I just have a soft spot for him. I always did. Really seemed like he went through some stuff. And
yeah. I know he had some family issues. I believe someone in his family passed away.
Yeah, I think it was one of his best friends.
Oh, yes. You're right.
And so, like, you just feel for the kid, like, nothing, not even basketball, was enough of a relief for him at the time, and he needed to, like, get all the way away. And, you know, bravo for being brave enough to do that and still having a decent career on a fun Nevada team. But, yeah, I would have liked to see him stick around. How about you? Who would you like to have seen stay?
For me, it's easy. For me, maybe unpopular, but for me, it's Scott Martin. Just to see what he could have done with the rest of the Baby Boilers. His skill set was, while him and Robbie Hummel were similar players, they could have been completely different and completely complementary to each other. And I just think if you add a player like him to that team, it's the sky was the limit for what they could have done. So he was the one I most wish would have stuck around, because I think he would have really grown into a great player at Purdue under Painter. I mean, and he had some success at Notre Dame, but I don't think he turned into the player that he could have been had he been with Matt Painter for 4 years.
That's probably the right answer. I mean, it's the most fun just on the court, because, you know, that would have helped with the Hummel injury, even though he had a lot of knee issues of his own. I think it just comes down for me, he was only here for a year.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I didn't get that attached to him, especially when we got to watch Etuan and Hummel just from day one look like superstars.
Yeah. And then JJ just grew into it. So you wonder what if Martin would have stayed, would that have messed up the chemistry? Would that have done something? But I really would have liked to have seen him stay. So to me, that's the one that just sticks out in my mind the most.
Yeah, I don't blame you at all. We've had a lot of good ones lately. Pretty much an entire draft class left, and
yeah.
Can't really say any of those were that sad, but Scotty Martin and
Kendall Stevens
are definitely two that you would have liked to see, like, a full career and see what they were capable of in gold and black.
Yeah. So there we go. I'm going to try to come up with some type of question like this at the beginning of each podcast, not let Casey know what it is, and just kind of see what we can riff about for a couple minutes. So hopefully that'll be a nice little addition to the podcast here. So
I would have liked Marchuse to say, too. He was
okay.
A lot of fun.
The Mooch.
He came back for a alumni game.
He did.
He looked awesome, like really in shape. Pretty sure he's playing overseas.
I think so. And he always had a good time, you know. That's one thing you could always say about Sandy. He was always out there having fun.
I don't think anyone had fun playing against him, though.
No, I would think not.
Hey,
I would think not.
He was a Mack truck.
Yeah. So shifting from a fun conversation to a sad conversation, we learned today that Robbie Hummel and the Team USA 3x3, yes, that's literally what they want us to call it. It's not 3x3. They want us to pronounce the X, so it's 3x3 basketball. Their team lost to the Netherlands today, so they will not be in the Olympics. That means no Robbie Hummel playing over the Olympics theme, no, like, Tom Rinaldi narrated story about back in college, Robbie Hummel had it all. And, you know, and then it all comes tumbling down and they build him back up. None of that. So Robbie Humo will not be playing in the Olympics this year. That just annoys the hell out of me. That's my first instinct. What is yours?
Yeah, it's just sad. It would have been really neat to see Robbie Humo. Would have been really cool to see, you know, USA represented in a sport that generally is thought of as something that we just dominate. And I think that was my first reaction, because, like, I just thought it was inevitable. Of course, we would at least compete. But, you know, that piece that you talked about last week, we haven't caught up with the world on 3-on-3, and it's showing.
Yeah. Yeah. I was surprised. I was reading an article after the game when they lost, and they went in as the number two ranked in the world, and number one was Serbia. And again, 3x3, not a sport I really follow. So it was very surprising to me to see the Serbian team was ranked number one. And it makes it all the more galling to me, because Robbie Hummel and the Team USA had won the 2019 World Championships. So in a regular five-man basketball, that means you're automatically in the Olympics. But the Olympic Committee is trying to force 3x3 on these other countries that don't play it. So they took away that automatic bid, and they're putting it elsewhere. So if this was regular, you know, 5-on-5 basketball, they would have already guaranteed a spot in the Olympics, because they are the reigning world champions. But because they took it away, they had to go through this tournament. And if they would have beaten the Netherlands, they would have had two games to win one in order to get in. But unfortunately, they lost to the Netherlands. They were upset. And now we do not get to see Robbie Hummel representing Team USA in the Olympics. And as someone who is a huge Olympics fan, that really sucks.
Yeah, it backfired. That is you win a world championship right before it, you should be allowed in. Yes, it's the Olympics. There will still be a gold medal given out. It will mean less because the U.S. is not involved. It just will. The world is catching up with basketball. A lot of great talent coming from other countries, but it's still undisputedly a U.S. sport.
Yeah, and yeah.
We're not in it now, and that's really sad. And that's how Robbie Hummel's career should have ended. How do we have another sad turn?
Right. The guy just gets one heartbreak after another as far as sports go. I mean, ACL, ACL, back, injuries when he played with the Timberwolves, injuries when he played overseas. I mean, it's just the guy can't catch a break as far as finishing one part of his career before transitioning into another. So I know he's doing well as an announcer and an analyst, and I think he's going to stick with that for a little while. I mean, he's very good at it, I think, but to be able to have him go out with an Olympic gold medal and kind of say, okay, now I've done what I need to do, I can actually officially retire from playing, that would have just been a hell of a finish to the story.
We're not going to get a Hallmark Robbie Hummel movie now.
Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, I was thinking maybe like Disney Plus.
Yeah. But, yeah, you know. I guess that's where we're at now.
Yeah. It's got to go straight to a streaming service. Although Hallmark probably has one, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess everybody has a streaming service now. So who knows? So that is unfortunate for, one of our favorite Boilermakers, Robbie Hummel, but, hopefully, you know, maybe he can regroup. Maybe he'll be back in 4 years. I don't see that as likely, just given, you know, the way his body has betrayed him time after time, but we can always hope, and hope that the, men's 3x3 is, back in the Olympics in 2024.
They took this away from us. They don't deserve to get their name called the correct way.
Yeah, I don't have to call you 3x3 because you took Robbie Hummel from me. So, yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. So, there we go, Robbie. Sorry. Wish I could do more, but we did what we could. Moving on from Robbie Hummel to other Purdue basketball players, the men of Mackey are back once again in the basketball tournament, which you'll find on Twitter at TBT. And they've begun to announce the team. And Casey, do you want to tell us who is on there so far?
Oh, yeah, sure. Give me a pop quiz. Evan Boudreau was the most recent announcement. I do believe the start off, though, was something of a surprise. Lewis Jackson is going to come back and play the basketball tournament.
That's right. He is. He's the most exciting choice, obviously.
Yeah, it's really exciting. I know he's been hanging out with Rafael Davis, helping out at camps lately. Apparently he's in Indy right now, working really hard to get back in shape. He was one of the most electric Boilermakers of all time. And to imagine back, I don't think I ever thought that I would see him play basketball again. Some of these other guys you kind of assume.
Yeah.
With the basketball tournament going on overseas, alumni games. It's just, I never thought I would see Lou Jack play again, and I'm really, really excited for it.
Oh, I know, me too. I mean, I was actually at the game when he dunked in a game for the first time. I was sitting on the end of the court that he actually got the steal on and came and dunked in our direction. And I remember he got the steal, and I was sitting next to my now wife, and I go, oh my God, he's going to dunk it. He's going to dunk it. There's no one around him. And I'm like starting to like stand up in my seat, like, cause I'm ready to pop. I'm like, oh, he's going to do it. Oh, he's going to do it. And then he did it. And I just went crazy because it was something that we'd waited for, because we'd seen him do it, you know, in highlights in high school. We knew he could do it, but he just never done it in a game. And then just to see him do it in person, just, I went crazy. So to be able to see him back in live basketball where, you know, there's actually something on the line is going to be incredible.
Yeah, I think I saw a couple of the misses live.
Yeah, yeah.
The attempts. Usually he was able to turn it into a layup.
Right, right.
But I do believe I saw one go real hard off the backboard.
Yeah. Hey, you know, if you want to get the highlights, sometimes you got to get a miss.
All right. Plus 850 odds, does he dunk in the basketball tournament?
Oh, I say he's going to try. Yeah. I can't guarantee he'll make it. I mean, I don't know. Depends on the competition, I guess. You know, if he can get a breakaway like he did in that first one in college, I think he'll give it a go.
That's fair. So I mean, why not?
Yeah, I mean, if he's got a breakaway, I would give it a go. So you did miss one player, though. They have announced three. Do you know who it is?
Did I miss one?
You did. You only said Boudreau and Lewis Jackson.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Sorry. John Octius. He was another foregone conclusion. I knew he would play. I talked to him last year before the basketball tournament. He was really good in the basketball tournament last year. He's been playing overseas nonstop since leaving Purdue. One of the best pure athletes that have played at Purdue.
Yeah, he's a freak.
Just an all-around player, like rebounds, assists, plays defense. You know, he was the guy that pretty much took on the best scorers in the basketball tournament last year. And yeah, he's in 1 year. I don't know of anyone that in 1 year did more to speak to the hearts of Purdue fans.
Oh, absolutely.
And that was even without the dunk.
Yeah.
But then you throw on maybe the greatest highlight.
Yeah. You can't leave out the dunk.
No.
But even if you do take the dunk away, I mean, like you said, in 1 year, he did so much for like the program, for how Purdue was viewed. He was embraced so fully by the fans so fast because he seemed like a Purdue basketball player. You know, he was hustling. He was out there on defense just getting after people. And the energy and the athleticism that he showed, he was impossible not to like from the jump.
Yeah, so I played him once at the co-rec after his career.
Oh, I'd love to hear how that went for you.
So honestly, I put up 8 points in a game to 15.
Okay.
We guarded each other.
Oh,
it got.
Did he score 15?
No, he probably had 8 as well. But it got to game point where he got the ball. I think I had just made a shot, but they were game point and they had like 1 point, and he went left to the left of the free throw line and hit a spin move. I didn't even get juked out because it was so fast that I just like blinked and he was on the other side. And just like rose up and just hit the smoothest jump shot I've ever seen in my life for game. Like at any point, if he ever said like, I'm going to shut this kid down or I'm going to take over this game, he could.
You know why I respect that story? Because you told the truth. You didn't try to spin it as well. And then I got switched off of him and then he, you know, hit the winning shot. No, you were like, yeah, he is an athletic freak and he just took me.
Yeah. I remember, I think I played him another time when he was in college, and but I was also watching a lot because it was him, Bryson Scott, Basil Smotherman maybe, and maybe one other Purdue guy, PJ Thompson. I think PJ Thompson was there.
Okay.
So you've got a court of 10 guys, and four of them are D1. And John Octia still looked like a different, just a different species compared to everyone else on the court.
Yeah.
He blocked a ball off the backboard that was just like, oh.
Okay. Oh, that's how we're playing. All right.
So
I know my place in this game.
So yeah, like he has like all world athletic ability.
Yeah. And you know, you talked at the beginning when we mentioned him here that he played well for the men of Mackey last year. Just looking at his stats, in their games last season, he averaged 9 points, 6.5 boards, and 4.5 assists.
He's going to be in better shape than anyone else at this tournament.
I don't know. There's a lot of good guys in this tournament. I was really surprised at the quality of the teams last year.
There are, but I'm just like, he is unworldly, just always in shape, goes 100 miles per hour constantly on the court. He played a lot of minutes last year.
Yeah, yeah. So now that we know, you know, we've got three players, and I'm looking at the Men of Mackey Twitter account right now, which
this isn't inside information. Like, I've talked to Raphael Davis. He's a friend of the podcast. There is no way Lou Jack is on this team and Raphael's not playing.
Oh, that's not what I was saying. Okay.
So
I was just saying.
You can count him as a fourth. There's no way.
They have at Purdue TBT, they just tweeted a little over an hour ago, 9 a.m. tomorrow. So they must be making more announcements of players tomorrow.
Also, congratulations, Raphael Davis.
Yes.
Got married this weekend down in New Orleans.
You know, if you're going to get married, going to New Orleans is not a bad,
yeah,
not a bad little trip.
Brought Coach Painter down with him. I know Jay Simpson was there. I'm sure there were quite a few Purdue guys down there, but yeah, major congrats. And it'll be fun to announce on his honeymoon that he's also going to be in the basketball tournament.
Yeah, I bet that would have been a very fun wedding just to sit around and probably listen to some of those stories that those guys would tell. And to go back to the earlier question that we started with, Jay Simpson's another guy. I know he had to retire for medical reasons, but man, I would have loved to see what he could have done.
That dude was disgusting.
Yeah. I mean, you know, thank God they caught it and thank God he's alive. You know, it was that scary, but he was somebody who we were all really excited about. He definitely fits in that category of guys I wish could have been able to finish their eligibility.
The amount of skill and size and quickness he had was scary. But let's go back to the wedding for a second. Coach Matt Painter was there. How high up on the power rankings of person to give a speech at your wedding is Matt Painter?
Oh, he's pretty high. I mean, major D1 coach, you know, Big Ten school, head coach. I mean, you're not going to get many, many higher polls than that, I would think.
Plus, you just know he'd nail it. Like,
oh, yeah. Because you know he'd be just the right amount of, like, mean to you.
Yeah, exactly.
And because he knows the story, so he could really needle you and then, like, look at your wife and he'd give that Painter stare with, like, and then, like, put his arms up and shake his head. And you know the whole place would die. Motion! Motion!
Yeah.
So yeah, he'd be a pretty good one to get. He'd be a pretty good get. So looking, you're saying Ray is probably going to be on the team. So that would give us four players. Who else? I mean, do you think is going to be on there, or who else do you think the team needs? Obviously, a position they have not announced anybody for right now would be center. And Isaac Haas was on the team last year, and obviously that would be great if they could get him again. So I'm hoping that they can get him on the team once again this year. Do you have any other thoughts on players that they should get or try to get, or even some that you think they will get?
I'm just going to go full team Raphael Davis camp.
He got AJ
Hammonds to show up. Why not bring him to the tournament as well?
Yeah.
AJ Hammonds and Haas together. I don't know what Dakota Mathias is doing right now.
I wondered that too. I mean, you know, he was in the NBA this season. And then the contract kind of ended. He didn't get picked back up, and
I'm sure he'll be at Summer League, so I don't know if that gets in the way.
Yeah, I'm not sure of the I mean, if he doesn't have a contract, there's nothing that they can do to prevent him from playing in something.
I just don't know if he'll want to put his focus there.
Right.
Ryan Klein, he agreed to it last year before all the COVID stuff started, so
yeah.
I don't see a reason not to bring him back. There's a lot of people to pick from. You know, we haven't had many recent graduates, so we're not getting many many from that. But, you know, Grady Eifert was key in putting the team together last year. PJ Thompson's still around. I don't know. Run that whole group back. It would not make me sad at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and plus that would be a fun team to watch because, like you said last year, I mean, Purdue, the men of Mackey, had additional players who had committed but then backed out with whether it was due to COVID or whether it was due to some sort of scheduling issue. I mean, I'm not sure we'll ever really know. But that to me was not upsetting, but I mean, it wasn't really what I wanted when I was watching the team because they had, you know, players from other schools. They had guys that I'm sure were great players in college, but they weren't Purdue guys. And that was really what I wanted to watch, especially, you know, after the cancellation of the NCAA tournament, this was going to be my taste of Purdue basketball. And then we get these guys who one of them was from like University of Washington. And he was the star of the team actually last year. I think it was like Denton or Dentman. I can't remember what it was, but it just wasn't the same. And it wasn't what I wanted out of a team called Men of Mackey. So hopefully they can get some more folks from Purdue this year. I think that's really what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, unfortunately, there were a lot of disappointments in the year 2020, so I pretty much forgot about that. It made sense. I mean, hopefully, yeah, we're going to start building on it, make a thing that a lot of these guys we watched and love, we get to see them play a couple more times. And I don't know, there's a lot of them floating around out there that hopefully you're interested.
Yeah, and I mean, it is, for those of you that don't know, the ultimate, you know, the end result of this thing is it's a winner take all. Whichever team wins gets $1 million. So they split it however they want. If I recall correctly, last year, each player who signed on for the team, they had an agreement of what their payout would be if they won before anything even happened. And they were not all the same. You know, some players were getting more than others. And whether that was due to, you know, star power or if some people had like negotiated or not, I don't know. I'm not sure exactly how that works, but it was kind of interesting to see that because they displayed that kind of throughout the presentation of the game. So I found that pretty interesting, but hopefully we'll see some more announcements here pretty soon. And I think the men of Mackey could have a pretty good team. There's, like I said, there's other good teams, the talent's out there, but it is a pretty fun tournament to watch. So we'll be looking forward to more announcements apparently tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. So we'll see who they nab. So before we head into our last segment of the podcast, we're going to take a break for the folks that pay the bills. So we will be right back. And we are back to talk about our final segment of the podcast this week. We wanted to talk about Trevion Williams and his looming decision of whether he's going to come back for a final year with the Purdue men's basketball team or if he is going to stay in the NBA draft and hope for the best and try to get one of those guaranteed contracts. So, Casey, I think we're in agreement here, but what do you think his ultimate decision is going to be?
I think he'll come back.
So we are in agreement. That's good.
Yeah. I don't – it might have been a conversation if we had a really big NCAA tournament run like we saw with Carson Edwards where, you know, Trey Williams just became a problem every single game. But what we saw was a first-round exit, and he wasn't really on the board as a prospect this year to start, and he right. still isn't really. So,
yeah, that's one of the fascinating things kind of about the NBA draft is you can look at next year's draft, and you can – the people who put these draft boards together are usually pretty on point with who is going to be drafted. You know, they know – so-and-so is a borderline next year. These people are guaranteed. And every year you see a few players come out of nowhere. They rise up and they'll wind up on the board. But it is very hard to jump from
out
not
of the conversation
draft to yeah. to end the conversation. So, and unfortunately for Trevion, I don't think, like you said, he didn't really start the season in the conversation of a can't miss NBA prospect. So he had one hell of a year. Don't get me wrong, but to jump from not in the conversation to a more or less guaranteed draft pick is not easy.
It's just hard to imagine a scout going to his GM and being like, look, I know we got this guy that can jump out of the gym, that can run really quick, that shoots threes really well. But look, I got this big guy who does amazing cross-court passes out of the post.
Yeah, that guy's gonna lose his job.
To me, Trevion feels like someone that either sneaks into the late second round next year or who goes undrafted but gets signed by a team who's probably liked him the whole time but knew they could get him late. And then next thing you know, he made a camp. And next thing you know, like, I don't know if he'll play right away, but I think he'll be a sneaky guy that has a good NBA career, catches on. You like smart players. We mentioned this last episode. He looks to be developing his jumper. If he can start making a little bit of a mid-range, you know, he almost seems, there's a lot of David West to his game. If he can start making that mid-range jumper, only maybe even a rich man's David West, because he's a better passer and has some good handle and really has an offensive mind for the game. But, you know, if he can defend the five even a little bit, rebound the ball, move the ball, set picks, really help getting offenses moving, I think he could be a really good pro for quite a long time.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong, especially like I think I don't know if it was last week or 2 weeks ago when we talked about that video he released of him working out for the draft. He is putting in the work. That's undeniable. But I'm not sure if, like you said, I'm not sure if he's quite ready this year. But what he does in this offseason is going to pay dividends for Purdue next year. And he's not only going to continue to get in better shape and be ready to go for a senior season. He will get pretty good draft feedback, I would imagine, from those GMs that are going to say, "Hey, if you want to get drafted, you need to work on X, you need to work on Y." And I'm sure it's nothing that Matt Painter hasn't told him and the rest of the coaching staff hasn't told him, but I'm sure it just hits a little different when the guy who could pay you millions of dollars tells you, "If you do this, you could make millions of dollars." There's just another level of somebody who can tell you that, and suddenly your ears perk up a little bit. And Williams is a guy who I think we all agree he's hungry at this point, and he will put in the work. We saw how he reacted after that NCAA tournament loss. He was heartbroken. So I think he's going to come back with something to prove, not only for NBA scouts, but also to the rest of the college basketball world.
Yeah, he's got a chance next year to do something special with a team that's really special. And the NBA is a lot of bright lights and a lot of money, but if it's not guaranteed and you have this opportunity ahead of you, I don't know how you don't take it. I
Yeah.
think he likes being in college. I think Purdue has been good to him. He's pretty much played from day one, has pretty much overachieved every year, been surprising, and
Yeah.
I'm looking for him to get his banner hung up next year.
Oh, so you think All American?
Yeah, absolutely. His
All
numbers
right.
weren't that far off this year.
Yeah, that's not wrong. So with this in mind, for those that don't know how the process works, the NCAA and the NBA kind of, they have to work together on these things because it basically the NBA uses the NCAA as a farm system. So they need to have kind of a basic set of a agreement between each other, basic set of rules on how this is going to work. So for this season, in order to return, a player has to decide by July 7th. So that means we've got just over a month until the deadline. And the reason that it's July 7th, this is actually 10 days after the draft combine. So I don't believe they've yet sent out combine invites for players, but for those who do attend, that means they can go through the draft combine and then they have 10 days following the end of that to decide whether they're going to come back to college and retain their eligibility, or whether they're going to stick it out and go through the draft. And one more thing to your earlier point, I mean, the money in the NBA, if you're not a first round pick, is not guaranteed. You can get a guaranteed contract in the second round if a team believes in you, if you've maybe got a good agent, but that is the exception. That is not the rule in getting drafted in the second round in the NBA. So that is another reason to really think hard about coming back if you're being told, "Well, we've got a middle pick in the second round and we'd really like to take you." I don't know. That's a lot to risk if there's no guarantee of any money coming to you.
And I mean, we've seen two Purdue Boilermakers go in the second round, get guaranteed contracts in AJ Hammonds and Carson Edwards. Carson Edwards, you know, it's still out what kind of career he's going to have, but even with the guaranteed money, you can't say either of those two have had a successful NBA career at this point.
No.
Didn't get
no,
much playing time, hasn't lived up to what we hoped or thought they could be. So even a second round pick, like, it's not a huge investment that teams are guaranteed to put you in the best place to succeed.
Yeah. And I mean, speaking of Carson, just to add on to that, the Celtics are in the playoffs right now. They have three starters that are out, and Romeo Langford is starting over him tonight. No Carson Edwards in the starting lineup. They're using Romeo Langford instead. And I don't watch a ton of NBA. I know you watch, but it's kind of excruciating to me to see Romeo Langford start over Carson Edwards, knowing how their careers went in college. You know, Romeo, of course, played at IU, and Edwards here at Purdue, and Edwards, I think, outplayed him just about every time on the court. So it's really frustrating to me to see a guy like Langford play over Carson, at least in the starting lineup. So you never know how your NBA career is going to go. So it's a difficult situation, and I think we're both hoping that Williams sees that and comes back to kind of prove what he can do to the NBA scouts.
Yeah, and, you know, you only get so many chances at college, a Final Four. Those things live on forever.
Yeah.
So I get NBA is the dream, the final goal, but there's a lot you can accomplish and a whole lot of history you can make in college. So and he's just, I mean, you know this. Everyone knew that he was going to be on my team in the draft because I'm not sure there's been a player that I've enjoyed watching more from day one.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I know for you it's like Ryan Klein and Trevion Williams. Yeah. So
very similar players.
So I knew if you got a chance, those were two guys you really wanted. So, and I don't blame you. I mean, they're great players. They're great all around players. They can do everything. And they're just the joy to watch. You know, they've got good personalities on the court. They're good for the team. And when you're in college, that means a lot to be a player that makes those around you better. And I think you can say that about both Klein and Williams. So hopefully, probably before July 7th, we can hear for sure whether Williams is coming back. But July 7th, again, that is the withdrawal date for the 2021 NBA draft. So that is the drop dead date when we will hear one way or the other. But I'm hopeful that it'll be before that. And we will end the show as we always do with a recommendation. This week is going to be Casey. And keep in mind, Casey doesn't prepare for these things. He just kind of shows up, eats a bunch of Taco Bell, and I have to remind him to do. So we will see. Remember, if you recall, one of his recommendations was big-ass TVs. So we'll see where he goes this time. Casey, what do you got for us?
Same line of thought. I try to prep, but then I'm just like, no one cares.
That's definitely what you want to hear about your podcasting partner. I try to prep, but, you know.
Yeah, you know, just, so.
Maybe my recommendation next week will be preparing.
Yeah, overrated. So I'm going to say estate sales. And I don't know if that's as big of a deal in Indiana, because I don't remember them ever happening. I'm sure they did. But I moved down here in the South, and we've been going to estate sales for like the last 3 or 4 months. I got a king-size Tempur-Pedic mattress, box springs, the whole gambit for like $200. And I just bought, which is a life goal that I've always wanted, is a really nice Chase lounge chair. And I got one today, last day of an estate sale, for $75. So,
okay, question.
Yeah.
Has anyone died on this furniture?
I don't care.
Ooh, that's not the answer I want.
I'm going to die happy if I'm on a Chase lounge.
What
or
about
a Tempur-Pedic bed? That bed's comfortable.
Did anybody die in the bed?
That bed's comfortable, Edmund.
I believe it. I believe it.
I mean, we got to die somewhere. Might as well be in my sleep.
Yeah, but I don't
know. Why are you making this dark? I'm trying to recommend a nice afternoon like, shopping spree with like friends. Like, my friends called me. They were like, hey, we were driving to Lowe's and we saw an estate sale sign. You want to go? Next thing you know, we like just had 3 fun hours together.
Okay, see, now you're selling it. Now you're selling it to me.
So they got a desk that was probably worth like $2,500 for $200. I got a Chase lounge that, you know, they're not cheap. And
well, and this is working great for you because you just moved to a new place, right?
Right, exactly. My apartment is now like has been mostly filled with estate sale stuff, and it's been great.
Well, there you go. See, okay, you've sold me. You've sold me. I'm ready to go.
There we go. I'll give you a call next time.
All right. Well, hey, actually, there was one around my house over here about a week ago,
Yeah, you
but
got
then it
rich people
start
in Maryland.
yeah, but then it started to rain, and I was like, I'm not sure what they're doing, so I didn't go.
It's just not the attitude. That everyone
I know.
else wouldn't have
Well,
went too. So
I
you could have
know.
got even
It
more of a
really,
deal.
yeah. It was the perfect time to go, and I wasted it.
Here's my tip though. Especially if you're there on the last day, there's gonna be a price on whatever you want. And you're trying to think like, I don't wanna offend them with the price I'm offering. Offend them. Because the people that are working it's not their stuff. They don't care. They get a percentage on what they sell, and they just want to get shit out.
Gotcha.
So like I that was, they marked mine for 95. I offered 75, and he goes, "Yeah, I should have offered 50." Like just point blank, I screwed up.
Yeah. That's what they tell you. You never make the first offer.
Well, I mean,
'Cause
the first offer is the price on it.
yeah, I guess. I guess.
But no,
Saying it out loud, though.
the point is they're professional. They don't care. Like it's not their stuff. Just offer low, and if they say no, they'll be like, all right, you know what number you're willing to pay.
Yeah,
We'll get there eventually.
I don't imagine they're gonna go home and be like, you know what this guy did to me at this estate
Yeah,
sale today? He said
unbelievable.
$75.
Yeah,
I've
so.
never been more offended. No, that's not gonna happen.
Yeah, so go to
Well, all
estate
right.
sales and get your stingy on. Be
Get
cheap.
your stingy on. There we go. That's a motto I can live with as someone who is cheap themselves. So I can appreciate that. All right, so there we go. Go to an estate sale, find yourself a nice chaise lounge, and you can lay around feeling all fancy. So I think that's great. I think maybe next time I see one, I will go.
Good.
So you sold me. All right. So that is it for us this week. We will be back next week. We're probably going to go player by player through the men's basketball roster, what we think they can work on for the next year. Because it is a very long off season, and we're trying to delay getting into football as much as we can, because that's just a very
That's the
sad
real
topic at
truth.
times.
Real
That's
truth.
a very sad topic. So we will get there. We just, Casey and I are more basketball guys than football guys, but don't worry, we will get to football, and we'll try to make it less depressing, and hopefully we'll have some good news for you. So, for myself and for Casey, thank you for joining us. Make sure to rate, review, and smash slash hammer, because it's Purdue, that subscribe button. And we will talk to you next week, folks.
Barbecue sauce.
Help, help, Purdue, our friendship machine never lacked.